You have to, in terms of the Buddha's mode of knowing, one has to posit two types, one that's from a Buddha's own point of view and the others, and the other that is due to others' points of view. For instance, if we who are not colorblind were explaining the mode of perception of somebody who was colorblind and was seeing everything, let's say, as a particular color, it would not be from our own point of view that we would be able to describe this, but due to the fact that things appear to that colorblind person that way, that we could explain that they appear in such and such a way.
So that is the way you are, isn't it?
So there is an appearance of inherent existence in general. And since there is an appearance of since the appearance of inherent existence exists in general, and since a Buddha must know everything that exists. Therefore, a Buddha must know of the appearance of inherent existence.
In
However, because a Buddha has overcome, gotten rid of, abandoned the appearance of inherent existence, a Buddha's knowing of the appearance of inherent existence is only from the point of view of that appearance to persons who have not overcome it. Then also it said that it's explained both in Sutra and Tantra that whatever appears to a Buddha appears as the sport of bliss. Then one could ask, does the suffering of sentient beings appear as a sport of bliss to a Buddha? And if the suffering of sentient beings appeared to be the sport of bliss to a Buddha, then the Buddha's consciousness would be a wrong consciousness, a mistaken consciousness, right? And if you said it doesn't appear to the Buddha, then a Buddha would not be omniscient. So thus the answer is that from the Buddha's own point of view, it appears as a sport of bliss, but also appears as suffering from the point of view of its appearing as suffering to those other beings.
All those shit. That became under this. Just the question.
Dualism. What is the distinction between enlightenment, nirvana, and parinirvana? This will be discussed later. But let me just say a little here. There's a difference between the way that nirvana is actualized according to the interpretation of the hero schools and of the upper schools.
Tanyandu Debelugi, the Sanje
In the hero schools, it is explained that when Buddha achieved enlightenment under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya, he actually then did become enlightened. And prior to that time, he actually was an ordinary sentient being. A fully qualified sentient being. And at the time when he became enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he did not overcome all four demons. There is the demon of the aggregate. That means our own ordinary mental and physical aggregates themselves. The demon of the The reason why these are called demons is that there's something that is unwanted, and because the mental and physical aggregates serve as a basis for suffering, they are something, the ordinary mental and physical aggregates serve as a basis for suffering, they are something that is unwanted. Because they are what issue forth suffering itself. Then there's one called the suffering of the Lord of Death, which means death itself. Uncontrolled death.
Yeah.
Demon, the demon of the Lord of Death. The demon which is the Lord of Death.
Deliberately obstacle chinge jigi ta being jorba ta tela type it use la bare
and then
ta gan den music ra go yor de se ta sa chowa ta she du she na ji de ra go mi do wa
and then those beings that are purposely making suffering what do you say purposely making trouble for beings
for that oh making obstacle
making obstacle
to overcome these three demons
Those beings that are making obstacles for someone who wants to overcome those three other demons are called the demons who are Devaputras. This would be like the ones that what you hear are often say have horns on the head and so forth.
That did do shinane da do shinane jom den de Bodhi tree wale ya enlightened nan du jane ta sanyi thora enlightened nang yo na thon di di chebre lai bi du jom bare
so now with respect to that morning at which Buddha was enlightened under the Bodhi tree during the evening he overcame the demon of the Devaputras these beings And at the time of dawn, when he became enlightened, he overcame the demon of the afflictive emotions. But he still had the... He still had not overcome the demon of the mental and physical aggregates, for he still had this body, and he had not overcome the demon of death.
That day, Bodhi tree wale ya enlightened na me kala, du ni chomba che. Ta du shi yongzo lo chomba di, kasa, ta du shi yongzo lo chomba di, ane sa jo thong le ya, ngoba zolo sa, kasa, ngoba sa jo thong le nyangale debe kala,
But then, under the Bodhi tree, when he became enlightened, he overcame those two demons, and then, come on.
Kushinagara, right?
Kushinagara, when he died, he overcame all four demons. That is to say, also the demon of the mental and physical aggregates and the demon of death. Therefore, the Buddha's own body, this physical body, is considered by those systems to be a true suffering. This is taking too long.
Though it take long time, but when things come in my mind, that moment is if I were explain better. But it's sometimes the things come and go away. So you see, later may not come. That I mean, that's all right, right? Chazanga, and the mindfulness, yahu jamarva.
I don't have very good mindfulness, right? Now, according to these lower systems, it is said that when Buddha died, that is to say, when he entered his parinirvana, the continuum of his mental and physical aggregates was entirely severed.
So you see, according to that, theory, now the Buddha's mind, you see, which is an enlightened one, though enlightened, but that moment completely ceased. So no more consciousness. So sometimes it gives me more discourage. It is far better to have living consciousness than a complete disappear. Right? So you see,
So this is the explanation according to the hearer systems, the lower schools. But now we're up to the six ornaments of the world.
But
according to the text of Maitreya, from the time when Buddha left Tushita before his birth in this world, he was displaying the activities of a Buddha, of somebody who had already become enlightened and was displaying how to become enlightened. He had become enlightened many, many aeons ago. Thus, the display of the 12 deeds of a Buddha were displays in India of two disciples, so that they might know how to become enlightened themselves. So therefore, Shakyamuni Buddha is put into the category of a supreme emanation body. And the emanator of that emanation is the complete enjoyment body. And his complete enjoyment body is something the continuum of which lasts forever. It's necessary to make the distinction here that the entity itself of the complete enjoyment body is impermanent, but that its continuum is permanent. And from what does this complete enjoyment body come? It comes from the truth body of Buddha. These are called the three bodies. This is the description of the great vehicle.
So
So then, what was the case when Shakyamuni Buddha actually did become enlightened many aeons ago?
那对于是个差来人下过的。
One has to posit with respect to the four demons, two different types, coarse and subtle.
但上一节那个对于差来人用说过讲不的。
And at the time when he became enlightened, he overcame all four demons in both types, coarse and subtle.
Yeah.
So there will be some discussion about Nirvana later. So we'll leave the rest of the questions for the 2 o'clock session. Now, with respect to the topic today. Last time I finished explaining about true sufferings. Today I'll explain about the true sources of suffering. The fact that the fact that sufferings are produced occasionally indicates that they are caused. Therefore, one can say that sufferings are caused. Why? Because they are produced occasionally. If they were produced causelessly, either they would never be produced or they would always be produced. If sufferings are caused, then one needs to look into what their causes are, and the causes are contaminated actions and afflictions. In the various non-Buddha systems of India, there are different presentations of what the causes of suffering are. According to the Sankhyas, the basic cause of suffering is the general principle, the nature, the prakriti. In general, there are many different types of non-Buddhist systems, and among them, the chief seem to be those of the Sankhyas and of the Jainas. In Sankhya, they set forth 25 categories of objects of knowledge. Existence. The root of suffering is this general principle, the nature, and that which undergoes or experiences the suffering is the purusha or person. And through understanding that the various sufferings are created by the general principle, the nature, the general principle withdraws itself and the person general principle withdraws these appearances, the person has attained liberation. In the Jaina system, they posit a state of liberation which is like an upside down umbrella up on top of the world system. Thus, there is a critical discussion amongst these many systems about these interpretations.
In the Buddhist way, because the effect, the sufferings, are products, are impermanent phenomena, the causes that produce them must be products or impermanent phenomena. Therefore, the cause of suffering could not be a permanent phenomenon.
I think I will explain something. Now, the general idea about the motivation as well as the action, something like this. Now, you see, at this moment, now, for example, you see, if I have the angry feeling. Now, with that motivation, through my speech, through my physical gesture, certainly it's a harsh word, as well as some, harsh attitude. Now the motivation, anger, that's the what called the kasa, nimosat, defilement.
Yes, defilement.
Afflictive
emotion.
Emotion. Then the action due to that motivation, now through speech, through physical action, now accumulate it's a certain, now that is the action. That is the karma we call. Now due to that, due to these two things, now they immediately in the atmosphere, you see, some different atmosphere will come. Some kind of, tense. And result, I myself, later, at the moment, I may not know. Even I feel I gain some victory. I shout, I say something is a harsh word. That moment I feel, I victory, something like that. But later, I will feel very sorry and shy. Also, you see. So, in deep down, you feel some guilty conscience. Same time, you see, other people also immediately lost their tranquility, the peace. So now that is the result. That is the painful result of that action through that bad motivation. So now this is the law of karma. Motivation, action, result. So now the other side, good, you see, sincere motivation and open, sincere, and some sort of, compassion or love and deep respect for other. With these motivation and through action, like speech or physical action, that immediately create peaceful harmony, enjoyable atmosphere produce. And due to that, we both, I myself, feel happy, calm, and similarly, you also enjoy that due to that atmosphere. So you see, bad motivation create problem, suffering, pain. The good motivation create happy, peaceful, something good. So now this is the general explanation. Now you see deeper level.
Right at that time, predispositions or potencies are put or instilled into the consciousness.
And through those potencies that have been established in the mind by the condition of that action, one will in the future undergo a good or bad effect. With respect to karmas or actions, there are two types, actions of motivation and the actions that are motivated.
In the systems of the Vaibhashikas and the Prasangikas, they posit karmas or actions which are physical or verbal, whereas in the Sautrantika and Chittamatra systems, actions are necessarily mental. In terms of how actions come out, they come out by way of body, speech, and mind, and thus there are actions of body, speech, and mind. In terms of their effects, there are two types of actions, virtuous and non-virtuous. And within the virtuous, there are two types, the actions of merit that produce rebirth in the happy migrations,
in the desire
realm, and unmoving virtuous actions that produce rebirth in the form realm or formless realm. In terms of the experience or non-experience of the effect, there are two types. Those of which the effect is definite to be experienced, and those experienced, and those of which the effects are not definite to be experienced. I don't remember in detail, but with respect to karmas or actions, there are four types. Those that are done but not accumulated. Accumulated, huh?
Accumulated,
I think so. Sava.
Sava. I think Sava is the motivation.
Those done but without that motivation.
Not deliberately.
Yeah.
Now, for example, you see, something you see happen here, you see, without knowing, like this, and killed a mosquito, that sort of thing. You see, you don't know whether there's mosquito or not. So you see, you feel something, and your hand immediately go there like this and finish that mosquito. You see, you killed, but not deliberately, no motivation. Now that is one kind of karma. Now one thing. Eating here, you want to kill. Somewhere that moment, someone came. So your attention go that side, forget to kill. You see, now that you deliberately, you have kasore.
You have accumulated that motivation,
but not done. Second category. Now another thing. No. Deliberately killed. Third one. The one that chasa niga mema.
Where you did neither.
That di nane da, di nane sāla mācāvā, chāla sākvā, dīyidī ngēvēlā yīndīyū.
Those actions of which the effects are definite to be experienced are those, which ones?
Chāla sākvā.
Those of which both the deed is there and the motivation for it is there.
Sāla mācāvā.
And when the motivation is there, but the deed is not.
Deed nyongitche, ra. Das chala masakwati mangebele imbeyo.
But those actions that are done without the motivation are cases where the effects are not definite to be experienced.
Ah, tani nge sabra timdo ande.
I don't remember this topic very clearly.
It's been
many years since I took my degree. For instance, if somebody goes is forced to go to war and is put into a situation where they have to kill.
Now you see that is individual soldier. You see, by according to his own motivation, he you see never have the motivation to kill. But because of the order and he carry his you see how to say work, and also during. Killed someone, immediately he feel very strong regret. Mm-hmm. See, that sort of action, again, mangeba, immediately.
Is the effects of, the experience of the effects of that are indefinite.
Now the other one, again now, you see, the actually, you see, action not so important, motivation is more important. Therefore, you see, a big general or country leader who actually ordered to make war. Now, you see, with his motivation that I am going to destroy all, you see, that forces. Now, because of that motivation, actually his physical not participated in that action, but the amount of the killing still, he have, all people killed during that war, he have this sin, you see. Physically not participated, but because of the motivation. Now you see another, say you see 10 person, or you see 100 person, how to say, make a plan to, how to say, to festival is more better, or big dinner, and they buy one animal, killed. Actually killed only one animal, but you see 100 or 10 person all have the motivation, you see, wanted to kill and eat that. So you see, though actually killed only one sentient being, but the sin, you see, each one have the complete one, complete sins like that. That didn't do no near such one.
Then with respect to those actions of which the effects are definite to be produced, there are different divisions from the point of view, the time of which the effect is experienced. There are actions, the effects of which are experienced right in this lifetime. Those that are experienced in the very next lifetime.
And
those of which the effects are experienced in lifetimes after the next lifetime. Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
gulungi kyawa, ane sungdenji kyawa.
Now, with respect to virtue, for instance, there are many types. Ultimate virtues, virtues by nature. For instance, an ultimate virtue would be a true cessation. Faith or compassion would be virtues by way of their own nature. And then mental factors and so forth that accompany a virtuous consciousness, such as mindfulness, are a virtue by way of association.
And
then there's virtue by way of motivation. For instance, if with a helpful motivation, one walks from one area to another, although walking itself is not a virtuous activity, with each step, due to the motivation, there would be a virtue. In the Vaibhashika system, there is a
chinde.
Chinde, Jesus deva kya wa, Jesus deva.
Kara kuri.
Yene, kuju,
kuju. Ta, pana diso shiga ta, pana kya wa jil cha shana, pana deva kya wa dal cha shaba yene deli ya, duje ki shuji du zane, duje ki kya sa shi yar wa, chini kya sa shi sa shi wa, chini kya sa shi da.
There is virtue by connection. For instance, there could be a virtuous consciousness such as that of faith, and it will be the characteristics of that consciousness, production, and so forth. Production, abiding, aging, and disintegration of that consciousness. These would be virtue by connection. Or the factor of attainment that is posited by that virtuous activity is called a virtue by connection. So that's the explanation of karma. For a Buddhist practitioner, the basis of the various types of ethics can be contained in the ten virtues.
The Ten Commandments, they double.
Some of them are like the Ten Commandments. Then the next topic is the topic of the afflictive emotions. So because these non-virtuous actions are motivated or risen up by the afflictive emotions, what are the afflictive emotions? Because the main factor involved in actions is the mental factor of intention, and because the afflictive emotions are mental factors, it is important to know a layout of the topic called minds and knowledge. So the definition of consciousness is that which is luminous and knowing.
That 당 로리야 아니 가소를 그게 준전소 준전 문제를 타네 다 고한 문제가 차야 된다리야 다 로리 이루 먹고 싶어요.
In order to understand different things about consciousness, there are many different modes of dividing up the types of consciousnesses. They can divide consciousnesses into cognizing or realizing consciousnesses and non-cognizing or non-realizing consciousnesses. The realizing consciousnesses are of two types, one in which the object is explicitly realized and the other in which the object is implicitly realized. In the first case, the aspect of the object actually appearing to the consciousness, and then in the second, the aspect of the object not actually appearing. Then consciousnesses can be divided into conceptual and non-conceptual consciousnesses. The first being case in which there is a conceptual image or a meaning generality through which an object is being known. And in the second case, there being no such conceptual image, but a direct realization. Consciousnesses can also be divided into the valid and non-valid. Then there's a division of consciousness into the seven types of knowers. The first is a correctly assuming consciousness. This would be like, for instance, from hearing about the Four Noble Truths and just thinking the Four Noble Truths are really like this, such and such. The consciousness has not been generated into an incontrovertible valid consciousness that ascertains these objects. These can be divided into several subdivisions. Then the next type of consciousness is one to which the object appears but is not ascertained or noticed. For instance, when one is viewing some attractive visible form, is involved in that, even though some sound is made and the ear consciousness, so to speak, hears it, that sound is not noticed. In the system that's common to the Sautrantikas and the Chittamatrans, these consciousnesses to which the object appears but is not noticed can be of three types. Those which are mental direct perceivers, those which are sense direct perceivers, mental direct perceivers, and self-consciousnesses. So thus among the four directly perceiving consciousnesses, yogic direct perceivers cannot be consciousnesses to which the object appears but is not noticed.
Then
the next is a subsequent cognizer. This is a consciousness that realizes and